Hello, this is Richard Law with the Society of Field Inspectors. I have on the telephone with me this evening is Jim Julian. Jim Julian's going to be down in Florida with me in the middle of February. I'm going to hold a one-day training event there, and Jim Julian is going to hold a three-day training event in the Commercial Insurance Loss Control Training. And what I wanted to do today was just introduce you to Jim and let him chat with you a little bit about his experience, where he's been, what he's done, and the training that he's going to offer in the middle of February down in Cape Canaveral, Florida. So let me turn it over to you, Jim, and tell us a little bit about yourself, where you've come from, some of your experience, some of your past training. Where you've been, talk a little bit about some of the opportunities out there, and then also, if you would, talk a little bit about the training. And that's going to be for the loss control training is going to be on the 14th, 15th, and 16th of February 2016 at the Radisson Hotel in Cape Canaveral, Florida. So go ahead, Jim. I'm turning it over to you.
Sure. Hello, everyone. I just wanted to give you a little background on myself. Again, my name is Jim Julian. I'm a loss control representative, a consultant. I have been in the industry about 30 years. I do work for various different companies, and I also do training. I've been a trainer pretty much everywhere I've worked. I've worked with rating organizations and insurance carriers and have developed my own companies. Just want to kind of give you a little basic idea of what loss control is. It is inspecting businesses and properties, and the purpose being to reduce frequency and severity of losses, claims against the policy. Give you a little bit more about what these surveys are about and when they are actually performed. In essence, surveys are ordered when a new policy is written. I have a business and I want insurance. I just started my business. I need insurance. That's a new policy. Or a policy change. I got rid of my insurance company. I didn't like them. Or I got a better insurance policy or a cheaper policy, less expenses, same coverage, those type of changes. A change in the business. If they want starting out with property insurance, general liability, they also decide later on they want the carrier to write the workers' comp. Product liability, things to that effect, that would also require a survey. And also follow-up surveys, changes in size of the business, additional locations added where they were manufacturing out of one location or they had chain restaurants in one strip mall and now they have in five, that would be a change as well. Also recommendation follow-ups. If you go out to do an initial survey, you will make some recommendations initially. There might be a six-month or one-year renewal follow-up on that survey to make sure that the recommendations were complied with. There's also kind of a trigger out there as well where they will do a survey regardless about every third renewal, so about every fourth year. They'll do one initially and then three renewals after they will do another a full survey, basically just acting like they never looked at it before and do it again. So, as you can see, there's probably 100,000 of these things done every month across the United States. Some of my experience, I've been, again, in the industry about 30 years, and it's kind of an industry where you cut your teeth on some low-end work and work yourself up into middle markets and multi-line work, and then to the pinnacle, which is HPR work, or workers' comp surveys, where you are actually doing consulting and helping an insured do trainings for employee safety and things to that effect. So that's the high end. Give you an idea on where you start, probably per hour. You're going to start with some really low-end type work, picture taking, check boxes, things like that, very short reports. And you're probably looking at about $25 an hour for those. They don't take an hour to do, for the most part. If you're knowledgeable and you're trained and you're not focused on things you shouldn't be focused on, which is where, we'll talk about the training and the reason for getting a good training and saving yourself time. But you're starting out probably about $25 an hour. Mid-level work is going to be about $35 to $45. And you'll get into mid-level monoline work, meaning you'll only be looking at maybe property or general liability. That's one line of coverage. To a multi-line report where you're going to one location, but you're doing the property insurance, the general liability, the comp, the fleet, products, business interruption, all those things. And that tends to be, you know, a rather lengthy report. So you're going to be more in the $45, $50 an hour range for those. And then, again, the high-end work where you're probably 65 and up, and it goes way up. It can go, you know, into the $100 range per hour, depending on your knowledge. And, again, that's HPR. It's called Highly Protected Risk. It's a lot of value at one location, so they got to know what they're dealing with and what's on the hook, and they really get nervous when they get into the $25, $50 million range at one location. So that's the pinnacle of it. When we talk about multi-line work, again, property insurance, that would be kind of looking at the construction of a building, the protections, like the sprinkler system, being able to evaluate the sprinkler system. Is it designed to protect what's in the building or not? If there's any alarms, that could be burglar or smoke alarms. How they're monitored, if they're just ringing local alarm or they're actually monitored like an ADT central station, things like that. Also hazards, like spray painting, if you have an auto body shop, or cooking if there's a restaurant. When you get into higher-end property, what we call the HPR work that I said before, you're going to get into much more severe hazards, like warehousing, high-piled rack storage warehousing of nasty things like plastics and foams and things that burn, flammable liquids. So you can see where, you know, the knowledge really gets paid, depending on what you know, how much you get paid. I'll do another example. If you're there for a line of business like workers' comp, we talked about property just a few seconds ago. Workers' comp would be going and evaluating things like personal protective equipment for the employees. Are they required to wear gloves? Are there safety glasses, respirators, hearing protection, these types of things. Let's say you're working a product and there could be items, you know, that fly off, like you're using a grinder. Well, you would need safety glasses for that. Also, if you're in a machine area where a lot of machines are running, is there a noise level that requires hearing protection? Also, with workers' comp surveys, you're evaluating safety programs. Do they have one? Does it identify all the hazards that are there? Are they communicating with the employees about the risks of these hazards? Are they providing the proper training on how to deal with these hazards, especially if there's an accidental spill or something like that? These are things you'd be looking at. Also, ergonomics. Ergonomics is something where, and I'll use a simple example, material handling. That sounds like a technical word. Basically, you're lifting things. And everyone knows you lift with your legs, not your back. Well, there's ergonomic programs that train employees on how to lift things, because if you teach them correctly how to lift, they have less back injuries, strains, all that kind of stuff. Ergonomics is really centered around that type of situation. Also, repetitive motion is part of ergonomics. If you have people working in an assembly line or do the same thing every day, every minute, every 10 seconds, they tend to get injured from just doing the same thing over and over and over again. Everybody's heard of carpal tunnel syndrome. Well, that's a repetitive motion injury, and they're usually very costly, so when you do a workers' comp survey, it's important that, you know, a vendor or an insurance company hires or uses or has their own person that goes out there that knows what they're doing. They can identify these hazards and help assist, again, going back to what is loss control. It's trying to reduce frequency and severity of losses. So it's really important that you have these type of trainings that you know what you're doing when you walk into a facility or look at it. Also, continuing at workers' comp, do they investigate losses when they have somebody get injured? Do they actually have a committee that looks at what happened? And what can they do to make sure that doesn't happen again? Can they identify the issue, the cause, and then what can they do to affect change and then make sure that it doesn't happen or happens less than it should? These are the type of things you'd be looking at. what I'm seeing is in the industry is kind of a gap widening between no knowledge and people that do have knowledge, that do field work. A lot of people get stuck because they're not trained properly or never get any training or kind of or hand work here, do this, fill this out. You got any questions, let me know. There's a lot of that kind of work out there, and that's very discouraging when people first get involved in loss control because they tend to feel that that's the industry, and that really isn't the industry. They're dealing with the wrong companies, and I always say the knowledge gets paid. So if a company is set up, a vendor, and they hire you and you don't have any experience, you don't have the knowledge, so you don't get the pay. The person that reviews your work and makes it good enough to send to an underwriter and be sold as a product, that person has the knowledge. That's the person that gets paid. You really want to put knowledge in your favor because the knowledge will get paid. If you do really good work for somebody and it shows, they don't have to QC that work as much. And they know that, and you can use that to your advantage, and you always will want to work up to better companies. Work with three and replace the worst with somebody better. It's kind of the philosophy I have always had in telling people, when you get into this industry, it's going to be a little tough at first because you're going to have to cut your teeth on lower-end companies. Don't be discouraged because there's better work out there, and there's fewer people that have the knowledge to do that work. When I say there's a widening gap, I can tell you that there are more companies looking for middle-level and up people than there are looking for low-end, check boxes and take pictures kind of people. So the work is out there. You just have to know where to pursue it, and you have to have some knowledge to be able to complete the assignments in a proper manner so that you know they continue to give you work. You'll see in various job site offer websites, Indeed.com, things like that, where there's vendors constantly looking for independent contractors that have knowledge and are looking to do, field work on an independent contractor basis. That doesn't mean that that's where you end up. You can continue to do that work. You can also aspire to be an employee of an insurance carrier as well. With experience, you'll have some offers. Eventually, as you get more comfortable with doing the work, you get better at it, you'll have more opportunities come your way. So that's kind of pretty much it in a nutshell as far as, you know, what loss control is, what survey types are out there, what your pay types are. I'd like to kind of get into my seminars a little bit, what I offer, what I do, and what services I provide to the students. My seminars are basically broken up into two categories. There's an entry level, and I call it an entry level because it's not the easiest part to learn, but it's where you start in this industry, and that's always property and general liability. Property is probably the most difficult line of business when we talk about property, general liability, workers' comp, products, fleet. Each one of those is a line of business. Property is probably the toughest to learn. It's more technical. There's much more to it. It's quasi-engineering, even though I don't want to scare people away from that, but, you know, it tends to lean that way, especially in the higher-end work. But that's where you start, especially in the low-end. You're doing quick property surveys, small buildings, not very big, a couple stories, Main Street mom-and-pop, business on the first floor, a couple apartment levels above, that kind of stuff. But that's where you start. I offer my first seminar, we call it the entry-level seminar, and that covers property and general liability. It gets into some deeper property aspects as far as sprinkler protection and hazards, like flammable liquid storage and handling, spray painting, combustible and explosive dusts. It sounds more technical than it is. It's pretty common sense, but if you don't have any knowledge in it, or if it's never been explained to you, you may walk into a facility and totally miss an exposure that should have been identified and talked about. Again, if you show that you have the knowledge, you're going to eventually get the pay because the knowledge gets paid, as I always say. So what I do is I try to provide a solid, easy-to-understand training, a lot of pictures, a lot of conversation, That survey, I'm sorry, that seminar is generally a 3-day seminar. Sometimes I blow it out to a 5-day, which we cover the same material, just maybe not as in-depth, not as much discussion. The seminar I'm having in Florida is a 3-day seminar, so it'll be a quicker type seminar. The book is the same from the 3-day to the 5-day. We just cover a little bit more detail in it, a few more sections that some can be self-studied in a quicker class, and some will be explained further out in a 5-day class. What I also offer is a review of your first report. So you'll have a good first impression with a company. If you accept an assignment from a vendor, your first report is really important. It shows that, you know, you've got a grip and understanding of what it is that you're there to do and to look for and to evaluate. If you don't do a very good job, it's going to be very difficult to, you know, grow your work with that company, because they're going to be less likely to trust you with work, and especially if you're not picking up things you should be picking up. It's kind of ironic that they'll send you the work without training and then, you know, test you out, see what you know, but then there's hardly any effort to train you and develop you. Kind of sad to say in this world, but that's kind of how it is in the entry-level beginner stages of getting into loss control. But I'll take your first report before you submit it to a company. Get it done, complete it, do your best effort at it, and I'll review it and critique it and help you put it together in a way that's gonna be noticed that, you know, hey, you're on point here and you know what you're doing. And that leads to a lot more work coming to you a lot quicker. They're more apt to give you work if they know, hey, this person knows what they're doing. We don't have to really go too crazy trying to, you know, pull or extract work out of their head. Ask people, what did you see when you were there? Instead of sending somebody that knew what they were doing, a lot of these companies send people to just, again, take pictures and check boxes, which is really the cart before the horse mentality. It's not a real good idea to do. But a lot of companies do this because they just can't afford to train people, or they don't want to train them because they don't want to pay you. Again, the money goes where the knowledge is. You have the knowledge, you're going to get more pay. I also provide a list of vendors that are listed, and a lot of them are nationwide, and you can contact them directly to see if they have work in your area. And generally what happens there is you're gonna do the surveys. Just look around. Go outside where you live and just look around. If you see a lot of apartment buildings and strip malls, well, that's what you're going to do, because that's what's in your area. If you live in a place like I do in New Jersey, it's a lot of factories and manufacturing and warehousing. Well, when I look around, that's what I see, and that's what I do. That work tends to pay a little more because it's a little more complicated. But wherever you live, if you look around, that's the type of work you're going to probably be doing, unless you want to do some travel. We can talk about travel, too. I generally try to stay close to home, but that doesn't always happen. And I've worked everywhere, including other countries, Asia, South America, Europe, all that. I've been pretty much everywhere. That work is available. Again, the company will hire me to do high-end work, and it makes it worth their while to plane, send me somewhere for a week or two, do work, come back, write it up, and pay me accordingly. That's how desperate sometimes companies are to have an American set of eyes. And America basically is the standard in the industry of, you know, what they want, how they want to evaluate things equally. Sometimes the standards are different worldwide. So they get really different kinds of reports, different kinds of angles of what's good, what's bad, what is an exposure, what isn't. So most companies like to have the American mindset, or a pair of eyes that basically were, you know, cut their teeth in the American industry to go worldwide. That happens quite a bit. If you ever get to that level, you know, those opportunities are there. Again, as far as my seminars, I have we call it a mid-level seminar. My entry covers property and general liability. The mid-level covers the other lines, the casualty lines. Even though general liability is a casualty line, we kind of group it together with the property, because usually your first type of reports are going to be property and general liability combined. The mid-level is going to cover workers' compensation, fleet, commercial auto, product liability, workers' workers' comp, if I didn't say that already, I think I did, and also cover a little bit of what's called business interruption. If a business went down or got interrupted from a fire or an event, how you value what the potential loss would be if they were down for, let's say, 2 months. That's something we cover in the mid-level course. And we cover a little bit more in detail sprinkler analysis on really high hazard things like rack storage and flammable liquid storage and things like that, which, it sounds very technical. Once you kind of understand the concept of protecting these things, it kind of goes hand in hand. You just got to be able to identify where the hazard is and what's required to protect it. So that's kind of where we are with all this. I hope that kind of, in a nutshell, although it's probably a big nutshell, talks about where we are in this industry, what's going forward, what I provide, when we're going to provide it, and it's going to be in Florida, and it's going to be in the middle of February. I came up with Rich. Usually, we used to do it every year, but the last couple of years hasn't happened. But he usually does one day of his training, and I'll do three of mine. Hopefully, we'll have a lot of interest in this. It's a good class. I would recommend if you're going to get into this industry that you get training somewhere. It's really difficult to learn on your own. It's not difficult to learn it if you're taught in a way that is easier to understand. A lot of pictures, a lot of talk, a lot of conversation about things. I provide that. I think it's been a very good course over the years. And a lot of people have taken it and have enjoyed it. And it sometimes goes even further where people come back and go to class again just to kind of freshen up on things. That does happen. So I'm going to toss it back to Rich, and I think he might have some questions, things I didn't cover.
No, I think you covered it very well there, Jim. And, I've sat through your entry-level course and your mid-level course with a lot of other field service inspectors, and they got an awful lot from it. And like you say, or maybe like I say also, both of us say, it's the loss control is one of the sweet spots in the industry. If you're going to be in the industry and you're going to kind of do some part time work and you don't want to learn anything, then loss control is probably not the place to be. But if you're going to be in the industry for the next 5, 10, 15, or even longer number of years, then you want to get into an area which you can call a career, an area where you don't have a lot of competition, in an area where there's higher levels, okay? A lot of the field service work, there's only one level. There's only one place you can be. Whereas with the loss control, there's levels, other levels you can move up to, and like you said, when you move to these higher levels, you earn more money, and the rewards are greater. This training for the loss control is going to be on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, the 14th, 15th, and 16th of February in 2016. It's going to be at the Radisson Hotel in Cape Canaveral, which is right next door to Cocoa Beach. It's kind of in central Florida. The 14th, the first day, is a Sunday. It's also Valentine's Day. So if you come down for the training, you might want to bring someone with you, a friend, a relative, a spouse, and enjoy the warm Florida winters. Monday, the 15th, is President's Day, so that's a holiday. And then Tuesday, of course, is just a normal weekday. And again, as Jim said, this 3-day course is going to be the entry level. And if you want to sign up for it, you can go up to www.sophiestore.com, and you'll see the 1-day training course there, and you'll also see the 3-day training course. So go up there and sign up. If you have any questions about the course, the schedule, hotels, airports, any of that information you need, give me a call. My telephone number is 321-543-2809, and that's on the East Coast. So we welcome you to come down to Florida in February. Hopefully you'll see some nice weather down here. Usually February is pretty nice. And more importantly, you'll get some good training, and you'll start forming a basis for a rewarding career in the commercial insurance loss control business. So that's basically all I have, and I want to thank you, Jim, for getting on here with me and explaining the career lines, the ways people can go with this, and hopefully we'll get a chance to meet a lot of people when they come down for your training. Thank you, and anything else? One more thing?
Just wanted to thank you for having me.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very much. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Okay, bye.